Blog Talk Radio.
You know there's more to this world than what you're told. Paranormal phenomenon, supernatural forces, government conspiracies, alien visitors. Step out of the world you see, open up your mind, and get ready for another round of strange at the Supernatural Radio Show with Corrine DeWinter and Nino Del Padre. Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. Listen up, world. Here's Corrine and Nino.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us tonight. And it's a special night. We have Linda Crystal, who is a forensic astrologer, a psychic, and she has solved so many murder and missing people cases in her time involved with the law, with police stations, all kinds of stuff. I mean, wow, this woman is like just incredible. It's incredible the information that is so precise that she can get from astrology, among other things. She's also, you know, as I said, a psychic, an intuitive, and she's just an incredible, incredible investigator and locator, I would say. So hopefully we do have her in queue here. I'm going to bring her on, hopefully. We'll see. Linda?
This is not Linda.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm gonna put you back on hold. Okay, sorry about that.
Okay.
Sorry, you guys. I'm a little frazzled because I just had to run from my dad's, and I got here, and I have a new computer, and I'm a little bit frazzled here. So bear with me. Is this Linda? No. I'm assuming it's not. Okay. We got one more here. Hello, Linda.
No, it's Amy.
No. Oh, Amy. Okay. Well, I'm going to leave you on here because I don't know where. I mean, I reminded her of the show twice, and I don't know if she just didn't get my messages. I posted it on her Facebook page, and I'm not sure what is going on with that. Shoot. I should have made sure that... you know, whatever. Anyways, I have you. I'm glad to talk to you, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. I have like a half a bar and I'm driving home. So if you lose me, I'll be home and I'll come on and we'll talk about something or other if you don't find Linda. But how are you?
Okay. Like I said, a little bit frazzled. It's not a big deal, but this computer is not allowing me to do a lot of, this new computer is not allowing me to have the ease with a lot of things. So
there's always a learning curve. You have to do. You need to listen to my new show with Jen Young. Stop, drop, think. I've been so frazzled today. So frazzled today, and drive faster into my stupidity. But it kind of makes me giggle. It's just hard.
Yeah.
It's hard being human.
It is so hard to be human. It's actually ridiculous. I mean, that anyone, Amy, that anybody expects you to get out of this alive.
No kidding. Oh, my gosh. It feels like detention. It feels like detention. Just would be so much, you know, but we're all here for a reason. And that, you know, if I get... too frustrated with being human, it's like it's just going to get worse. So lean in and get the lesson. The big lesson for me is always to like slow down a little bit.
Right.
Easier said than done.
True. Yeah. I mean, even with slow down, then we feel like, oh, I'm not getting anything done. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Especially when there's things that, you know, you have to do and things that you want to do. Trying to balance it all, and especially with the situation with your dad, where that's just so, you know, it's like you just want, you know, it takes priority. Everything else will come in due time.
Right, right. And, you know, as you guys know, you know, Renee's mom passed away yesterday. And I was saying to Bree last night when we were talking, everybody thinks it's easier when you're a psychic or medium to lose somebody. No,
It's a thousand times worse because all the stuff that we believe on every other day just sounds like a bunch of unicorn talk when you're sitting there facing that vast hole where someone you loved once stood.
So right, right.
Our prayers are with her. I did not know that. I knew that she was out there, but I did not know that her mom had actually passed. It is.
I'm
a little overwhelmed. It is. It's so hard because we know this stuff to be true, and it is true. But there's also a very human relationship and, you know, a very human presence. People we love have in our lives, even if they've been difficult relationships. I hate to say it, but I'm glad that she's having a hard time because it means she's facing it head on, and we're all here for her.
Right, right. I totally agree. And I think, like I was saying last night, I was talking to Solana and a bunch of people, and I think that we are supposed to feel this. You know what I mean? If you don't feel it, you're not getting it, man. You know?
Oh, and if you don't feel it, it's going to sneak up on you. I've seen people who have tried to tiptoe around grief, you know, leaning into their spiritual practices and eventually they've got to face the loss and feel the loss. And I just think that as hard as it is, the sooner you do it, you know, we just move through it. There's many, many lessons in grief, but very painful. So I'll be keeping her in my thoughts. Wow, that really hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, and, it's just, you know, like I said, it's just tough no matter what. It's just a friggin', oh, God. Anyways, you know what? I'm going to try to email Linda now. So I'm going to play a song and try to email her and see what's going on. And if not, we can still carry on if I don't get a hold of her. She's very busy, and sometimes she doesn't always remember, when she makes...
That'll give me time to get home and be more...
I'm here too, Amy.
Good. So you've got... Fine, Linda.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm sending thoughts for Linda. I'm sending love to Renee.
Whoops.
Linda.
I don't know why I did that.
It's okay.
I don't know why I did that. I'm like in a fog here myself, so...
Yeah.
I meant to
okay. So I'm going to play Mona Garcia, Simplicity, and we will be back right after this, you guys. Thanks for hanging in there. Okay, that was Mona Garcia with Simplicity, and she's you guys would love the whole CD, and you can get it at monagarciamusic.com. Okay, so it appears that Linda is either off on a case or just has she just logged in. Okay, Linda. Oh, there thank God. Okay, thank you. Let's see if she's gonna. Linda,
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, good. Yes, we can hear you. Thank you so much.
Well, Skype wouldn't let me call in. Then I could get no sound. So I'm over here trying to get the board going, and I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? But I'm here.
Good. Thank you so much, Linda.
Thank you for having me.
And I was just describing what a multitude of talents you have and how you are so specific when you're on these cases. Now, you know, as we talked for hours a couple weeks ago, and I was telling people that we had spoken, Linda, and I said, I was not bored for 1 second when she was telling me her story. I was fascinated. So tell us a little bit about how you delve into these cases and like maybe one of your favorite cases you can talk about or whatever you'd like to talk about.
Well, you know, I'm psychic from birth. So this is starting probably way back when I was a child. And that started to give me nightmares and visions. And I saw my second grade teacher. She told me she was passing away. So I went through all of that. And then, of course, I'm going to be drawn to this because I'm beginning to find out that obviously I have something that somebody else doesn't have. I mean, we all have it on a certain level. It's whether or not we're going to work with it, whether or not we are, I call it being socialized as to whether or not we're going to be able to use it, because there's a lot of agendas out there. And I got interested in astrology, and when I started to see that this was a little bit more than your horoscope, I started to test it on, I used it on family members and friends, and then I started out with serial killers. And I thought, geez, I'm going to take a look and see whether or not I can see certain things in the charts that the serial killers are doing. Now, some of my background in astrology is that there used to be a wonderful bookstore here in Buffalo called the Aquarian Bookstore. And I actually took formal lessons with them there for quite a number of years and got to the hardest part of astrology is predictive astrology. So that is where people that want to be an astrologist and then cross over have a difficult time because they can't predict. You have to really know the signs and the houses really, really, really well before you can get to that point. And when I found out that I could actually work on these serial killers and take a look at, would they use weapons? Would they strangle? What would they do with their victims? I switched it around a little bit to see whether or not I could actually find out about the cases. And I would practice on the ones that would, when somebody would go missing or a murder would happen, I started to practice. And then what I would do is wait for the outcome, and I'd watch the outcome and compare it with what I actually got. Well, lo and behold, when every single one of these ones that I was working on turned out to be accurate, I said, is this really I mean, I didn't believe it was happening when I first saw it happen. And then, you know, all of a sudden, I realized that this was going to be something that was just going to be really, really crucial in some of these cases. And I was working at a dealership. I was in a car dealership. I worked for them for like 17 years of my life. And a little girl went missing in Amherst, a little girl by the name of Sandy Olenichek. And she was like 8 years old. And the parents sent her to the store, the corner store, for stamps, and she never came home. Well, my boss calls me in the office, and he says, Linda, you're into all this stuff. Do you know what happened to that girl? And I said, absolutely. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, tell me. So I start telling him, and he goes, are you joking me? You know this? And I said, yes. Yeah. So he says, why don't you call the police? I said, because they don't listen. They want to have factual evidence. They don't want to listen to psychics. They think this is hoo-ha. So he goes, well, I know the captain of the Amherst Police Department personally. He says, I'm going to get him on the telephone. Well, you know, the story was I told him that this was a person that went to this little girl's house every day, knew the family, knew her, and offered her a ride on some kind of a vehicle and whatever, and basically sexually molested her and strangled her and threw her in the canal. And she's probably about, a mile and a half, 2 miles from the house. And when I told him that, he was like, oh my God, he goes, you know the whole story. And I said, well, that's just through astrology. So he put the captain on the phone to me, and I told him the whole story again. And within a few days, they found Sandy Olenichek in the canal. This guy that was, he was mentally challenged, had taken her. They never exposed the sexual molestation, and I think that was protecting her honor. But she was strangled, and he gave her a ride on a sled, and they found her a mile and a half from the home in the canal, like I said. And that was the beginning, and then it just went on and went on. It was every case after case after case. So, I mean, and they're all like right. that. Every single case is like that.
Right. I just want to mention, once again, we're talking with Linda Crystal, who is a forensic astrologer, and she's been kind enough to share some of her stories and ways that she investigates these missing people. This is not a reading show. So if you're calling in for a reading, we are not doing readings tonight. We are simply listening to Linda and her stories and trying to delve into serial killers and things like that. So, Linda, when you as we spoke that night, you told me I'm thinking of one instance where you knew that the man who was the murderer was, you determined that he was living in subterranean tunnels, and you even get so specific as to say what the guy might be wearing. How the hell do you do this?
Well, everybody's got a chart according to the date of birth, the location of their birth. So this is lines of latitude and longitude on the earth, a time of birth. Now, not even twins have the same astrology chart. It's like a fingerprint. It's that in depth, okay? But you have to know how to read it. It's not picking up the paper and reading your horoscope. You have to know how to read these charts. And that's what you get the information from. Now, when I work a case, the first thing I'm going to work is I'm going to work a chart of the day. I'm going to look at where the planets were above this particular crime scene or person that disappeared that day. That has got a fingerprint on it all its own, that chart. Then I'm going to take a chart. Like in this particular case, the police started to realize that I was getting pretty well known around the Buffalo area. I worked on a lot of cases, a lot of police enforcement. All of a sudden there was, you know, a big scuttlebutt about me in the area that, you know, this girl works on these cases and she's coming up with stuff. We don't know how she's coming. I mean, I'm sure I was investigated because they looked at me like I was from Mars. How could you possibly know this? But the case that you're referring to is there was a guy that was killed in Buffalo on, I want to say, like around North Ogden Street in Buffalo, if anybody's familiar with Buffalo listening. And he disappeared. He took off. And they couldn't find him. It was 3 years. And, you know, I'm doing psychic fairs, and I got my name up everywhere, and I'm in the paper, and I'm a promoter and all this other stuff. So the police call me, and they go, you know, can you give us a heads up on where this guy is? And I said, well, do you have his birth chart? So they gave me his date of birth, and I'm looking at his chart. And they said, okay, well, you know, tell us some stuff about him. And I said, well, he's a Pisces. He's musical. I said, And they said, well, where is he? I said, well, he's living in the storm drains. And I said, he's going back and forth from Buffalo to Chickawaga in the storm drains. That's how he's traveling around. He's a nocturnal animal, I said. He's a Pisces. They live at night. This is, you know, part of what the Pisces sign is all about, is that they're night people. And I said, so he's been eluding you because he's traveling around at night and he's wearing costumes. He's changing, you know, the clothes and his facial hair and different hats and stuff. I said, you know, he plays guitar. And they looked at me and they said, you know that? You know him. I said, no, I don't know him. And, of course, there were big belly laughs coming, you know, from the police officers when I told them about the fact that he was living in the storm drains. And I was totally serious. And I said, well, I said, you know what? You're not going to have to worry too much about him anyway. I said, because he's going to die in about 3 months. And they said, what? I said, his chart indicates that he's going to take a hostage, surround himself in a house, and kill himself. I said, and then all your worries will be over because he's going to be dead. And they said, no. I said, well, I said, you know, you want it. I'm doing this for free. You wanted to know. I'm telling you, this is what it is. Okay. So it was like 3 months almost to the day. 6 o'clock news. Here is this guy in a house on North Ogden Street, and he did take a hostage, but he let the hostage go after hours and hours of the police surrounding his house. And basically, he shot himself in the stomach and killed himself.
So, wow. Wow.
Yeah. So he, like I said, and this was all in his chart. If you know how to read the chart, you're going to get the answers. The trick is knowing how to read the chart.
Right, right. Well, you obviously can do that very expertly. Now, but the forensic part of it, Linda, how important, that's very important too.
Well, basically what, you know, there's always like been an etiquette about everything in our life and in our world. And, you know, years back, you had to sit at the table, you had to put your hands on your lap, you know, you couldn't put your elbows on the table. I'm talking etiquette. Same thing goes on for weddings. Well, there was an etiquette also in astrology, and that was you don't tell any of your customers, you don't tell any of your clients bad stuff. You stay all away from that. Yes, there's bad stuff in the chart, but you stay right away from that. Well, I was the person that instead of looking for all the, oh, let's, you know, tiptoe happy down the little trail here type of stuff, I was the one that went after it. I went after, okay, where is all this bad stuff? I want to know. And I said, is there a way of knowing when you're going to die, when somebody else is going to die? How far does this chart go? I mean, I'm pretty impressed by what it's telling me already with what I learned. How far is this chart going to go? So what I basically did was I pushed the limit with my knowledge and with astrology And I think I actually have breakthroughs in the fact that I am the only one that will state this anywhere, and have now for a number of years, that when somebody dies, your chart goes on. It doesn't stop. It goes on. And this has helped me actually work on the cases when the person goes missing or when they're murdered, because I can see that they're coming to the surface. Their head is above water. They're around something in a certain color. They're in a certain location. And this I've already documented and proven that I can do this, and it does happen. So I'm pushing the maximum in these charts by looking for, let's say, the bad information, but you have to once somebody goes missing.
Right. And like you gave me a reading, Linda, and you know, and this was a little grim, but you told me where my death scene was.
Well, it's now, a death zone. A zone.
Death zone, that's what I mean. I'm sorry. Zone, scene, whatever. So then,
we don't want a scene yet.
No, we don't. But what? All right. So how do you determine that?
Okay. Well,
And the other thing. Excuse me, Linda. The other thing is, if I moved, would it always be in the southeast? Would my death zone always be in the southeast, no matter where I was?
Well, yes and no. When you take a look at your natal chart is locked in. When someone does your natal chart, that is locked in for the rest of your life. That's not going to change. What changes is the planets that are whipping around the sun every single second that are doing it right now, so they're always changing positions, causing particular angles to your natal chart. So now this is where it gets really complicated, because you have the chart, the natal chart. Now you have the chart of the day, which is spinning around as we speak. It's moving around. And you want to come to, that's why time is important. The time of a crime, the time of birth. You want to try to lock that chart in so you can study it. Okay. What is locked in your natal chart would tell me where you're where your Mars is. Where's your danger zone? Where's your problems in your life? When I'm taking a look at a person that has gone missing, I want to take a look at, and you're flashing Chelsea Brooke up there, okay? She was an Aquarius. I want to look in her chart, and I want to take a look at, where is her Mars? What problems did she have in her life? What kind? Now, I know she loves friends. She likes to socialize. She likes to go out. She likes to gather friends just like they're flowers in a basket and keep them forever. She loves friends, groups of people all the time. So then I want to look at, okay, when she disappeared, how old was she? Where was her Pluto in her chart? I want to know where that Pluto was. And then I take a look at, is this person possibly alive or dead? Were they in their death zone? Was the chart of the day in the death zone as well? And when I add those two together, that's when I can tell you if the person generally is here or on the other side.
Right.
And
right.
Unfortunately, that's the hard part for people to, you know, the families to listen to, like Holly Bobo. Yes, I knew Holly Bobo was alive for a short time. According to her chart, according to the chart of the day, she was alive for a short time. That girl also came to me in a dream. So now the psychic part of me kicks in, and she came to me in a dream and showed me that she was tied up to wooden rafters.
Wow.
So sometimes the psychic part kicks in. Sometimes it's the astrology chart. Sometimes I get it all. And here's the other thing that I found out about. I know that there's male astrologists. Female astrologists have hormones, and the hormones change. And I could see the difference when I was younger, when I was actually having my period versus not having my period, going through the change of life. I could see the differences in the dreams and the psychic ability and the ability to read people. And the same thing when I went through the cancer. I couldn't read a soul. I wouldn't get a dream. I couldn't read a soul.
Right, right.
So that's a part of it as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and you've been doing this for, what, 40-odd years, more than 40 years, or?
I would have to say, oh, probably over 40 years. And this is why I'm saying it takes a lifetime to study. You really have to make a commitment if you think you're going to, and with me, it's not only astrology, it's numerology, it's graphology. You know, I'm doing lexigrams. I'm doing everything when a person is missing to try to find out the hints, the confirmations, because if I get the astrology chart to tell me something and then I do a numerology chart and that tells me the same thing, I know I'm right. I know I'm absolutely right. I did a show the other night on Michelle Parker. Michelle Parker is missing from Orlando, Florida. I did the chart of the day, her chart, and Dale Smith's chart. They all line up southeast. And I said she's below an airport in woods and water. So I will document that on your show.
Right. Okay, so has anyone looked for her in those places?
Well, they found the phone. Her phone was found in water right off of Belle Isle. Now, they've been focusing around that area because I believe that Dale Smith, her ex-fiancé, lived not too far from there. But he's not stupid, okay? A lot of these people that commit these crimes, yes, they're fabricators, they lie, they do all kinds of things, but they're pretty smart about watching what someone does with a person, and he doesn't have a good background to begin with, and in my mind, he's the first person of suspect, a person of interest, but here is the deal. Three charts are lining up southeast. Now, there's something in that area. Either they're going to find her, well, they've redone the search now, and I believe they're searching for the glow sticker, but they're also searching for her. The quicker they find her, the more evidence they're going to find. And that's basically when someone goes missing and the parents want to believe the person's alive, I can understand that hope. But you might want to consider that the person is not alive because you need to look for evidence as well. And you need to get out there as fast as you can and find that person, whether they're dead or alive, or you're not going to have a case.
Right, right. Now, I don't know if you want to speak about this, Linda, but, the more publicized murders and missing cases, such as the O.J. Simpson case, I don't know, you know, if you want to comment on that, you know, would you like to comment? Did he... God.
I can give you my personal opinion, which I think goes along with the majority. If you did a public poll right now, pretty much your public poll would say that he did it. And I'm going to go along with that because what I will say, and I've said this before, is that there is always domestic violence in the background to somebody that is going to murder or kidnap somebody. There was domestic violence already in their life. And he was a very jealous. This is what happened to Nicole Simpson, and I'm forgetting the man that was also killed because I haven't read
Ron Goldman.
Ron Goldman.
Yeah,
Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah.
This was an overkill. This was not just a killing. This was an overkill. This was a rage. This was an emotional explosion. O.J. Simpson is a cancer. He's emotional. He gets upset very easily. He's a very sensitive type of person. And he didn't want this to be happening to her. And he might have just been returning her sunglasses, but to O.J. Simpson's imaginary mind, it was an affair and she was cheating and all this other stuff. He might have even deserved that, but the thing is that I do believe that he did it, and I do believe that, you know, he hid the weapon, and there was also a bag of clothes that disappeared that, you know, a lot of forensics were missed because of that. So my personal opinion is that he did it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And of course, you know, when you're speaking out, because you speak out a lot on these different cases, and that doesn't make you any friends. And so you really have to be protecting yourself pretty good.
Yes, I have to say that I do watch myself, which for anybody that knows, if you've been following me around on the shows, I do not put pictures very often of myself out there because I change my hair, I change my face, I change the color. I go on searches. I do investigations behind the scenes so that people don't know who I am. I want to sometimes interview people. I want to knock on doors. I want to see what they want to say. And I don't want people to know, you know, every personal thing, you know, about me. And the other thing is that once someone knows who I am, and this is kind of a sad thing because if you ever ask a palm reader, you know, oh, what does my palm say? The first thing you'll do is walk up to her and say, open the palm and say, what does my palm say? After a while, that gets a little old. You know, you don't want to mm-hmm. have that, you know, 24/7.
Right.
But yeah,
right.
it gets a little creepy.
I'd say. Yeah. But I applaud you for going out there, putting yourself on the line and trying to help. And you've helped in so many cases. I mean, like I said, we talked for hours and you probably hadn't even touched half of what you've done, you know, all the investigations and missing people. And so what do you think about the JonBenet Ramsey case, Linda?
Well, I always believed that the parents knew what happened to her. I always believed that it was someone within the house. I always believed that it was someone, JonBenet was dragged down the stairs. It was someone that couldn't lift her. So they dragged her down the stairs from the upstairs bedroom. I mean, there's a reason why she had drag marks. And I do believe that this whole thing was like a major cover-up for people not to know. To me, it was staging. The letter was staging. The handwriting was staging. Everything that was in that letter was only known by the family. I find it very hard to believe that it wasn't someone known to the family. I don't believe the police work was wonderful. I think on many of these cases, the police work, that, you know, when people walk into cases, they don't know it's a crime scene. It should automatically be viewed. I mean, I was taught in criminology classes that I took at ECC out here that when you enter a scene, you immediately secure it, you immediately wear gloves, you immediately contain it, protect it, and stop people from crossing it. But when the police officers originally get there, these are police officers that don't have that criminal training. They're just going there to answer a call, so they don't really know it's a crime scene at that point.
Right, right. So, you know, what was probably, and I know you've got so many names that you've worked on, but there was an incident, and I heard it on your show. By the way, you guys, Linda has a show every Wednesday night on the BTR Network. And what time is that, Linda?
6:30, thank you.
6:30 Eastern time, Eastern Standard Time on Wednesdays. And she's incredible. I mean, you can tell by just this interview tonight. She is really incredible. So check that show out. Click follow so you guys know when it's on. And she's always tackling different cases. So one of the cases that you were working on, there was your co-host sometimes, Terry, was looking for the body because they couldn't find the body. Who was that where she found the body?
That's Haley Dunn.
With the GPS?
That's the Haley Dunn case out of Colorado City, Texas, yes. That's how I met Terry, my co-host. We were working on I was on Weld Sleuths for, I'm still on there. I'm just so busy that I don't get to go on all these sites, Psychic Crime Fighters. And what I was trying to do was post a lot of crimes that a lot of people forgot about, cold cases, so that the people would still look. But every time a new case would come up, you know, people would wing by me, you know, what's going on? Well, that particular case, I seemed to catch on right away with, you know, the girl going missing. And got a lot of information right away from the charts, from, you know, who I was and what was happening. And you when you work so many cases, after a while, you get a feel. You get to feel. You know where that's going. And you stay on it, because she's missing. She's gone. Now she's found dead. But found exactly like I said, laying on the ground. She is an Oriental sheep. Found in a field, lying on the ground, on the earth, where a sheep would be in a field.
Right. But that was amazing the way Perry was using the. Didn't she use the GPS to actually find the exact location?
Excuse me. Well, what's really funny is that, you know, we're working numbers of the day, and we're trying to figure out when did this girl really go missing, because we're already feeling staging, somebody's not telling the truth, the day is wrong, that this girl went missing, when was she seen last? You start getting into, when was that person really seen last? Who saw that person last? And when you start putting the time together, you start realizing maybe somebody's fabricating or telling stories. So we kind of figured this out behind the scenes. And when I got, you know, the new numbers and the new letters of the day, then, of course, Terry lives down in Texas, about 3 hours away from Colorado City. But the thing is that she made it her point to go out there and search. And, yes, they had a new GPS, and they're following all these routes and everything that I'm telling them to go on. And Gail St. John, she also went down there. And Terry just kind of said to the GPS, okay, where's Haley? And the GPS went off. And when the GPS went off, it took them right up the road where they eventually found Haley. That's weird. That's weird.
Very weird, I'd say.
Well, there's more in the universe than we know.
Of course, right. And when you say that the chart goes on after a person's gone, so what does that chart tell us? I mean, when someone has passed, what does it tell us? Where they are in the afterworld? Or?
Well, okay, say you come to me for a reading and you're alive and you want to know, gee, what's going to happen in the next year, okay? Well, all right, somebody goes missing and I continue on, just like I'm giving a forecast in their chart, like what's going to happen in the next few days. That's how I can trace that somebody was alive. I am positive with my life that Holly Bobo was alive for a short time before she was murdered. I am positive of it. And I can pretty much prove that in the chart. But the thing is that I had a little girl that went missing, Samantha Zaldivar. She was missing Wyoming County, New York, which is around Perry, closer to the Finger Lakes. And basically the boyfriend said that the little girl went she never got off the school bus. So I drove all these hours to get out there, because that's quite a hike from Buffalo. But I drove out there, and the FBI was out there, and Channel 4 was out there. The Channel 4 cruiser was out there. So they asked me who I was, and I introduced myself. Oh, yeah, we heard about you and this and that. Come on, get in the van. It's cold. Have some coffee. Tell us what you know. So we're all waiting for the FBI to leave, because we want to all talk to the family and the people. And here comes this guy walking down the trailer park, and he looks in to the trailer. And I said, there's your guy. And he goes, I'm trying to think of the news reporter from Channel 4 at the time. I can't think of his name right offhand. He goes, what do you mean? I said, there's your guy right there. There's your suspect. So he's looking down to see if the FBI is still there, and once he sees the FBI cars there, he beats feet. A couple of minutes later, the school bus goes by. This is 3:15. Tony Farina, that was the name of the guy. So I said, Tony, I said, take a look at that. He goes, what are we looking at? I said, you're looking at the school bus. He goes, so what? I said, what time is it? He goes, 3:15. I said, they said she didn't get off the school bus at 4:30.
Right,
I said,
right.
So they're lying. Somebody's lying. And then, well, that came out to be that he was lying. But I said, well, you know, his chart says he's going to take off. And they said, what? And I said, his chart says he's going to take off. He's going to take off down south. So they put a sheriff's car out in front of the trailer for 24 hours. The day after they took the sheriff's car off, he beat feet to Florida, Homestead, Florida. He took off. In the meantime, I take a look at Samantha's chart, and this is my example of how the chart goes on. Her chart indicated her hand and her head was above the earth. She was coming to the surface. The sun was on her hand and her head. And I said, she's only a mile and a half from that house. And so I call Tony Farina and I tell him, she's coming to the surface. You're going to find her. She's coming to the surface. Well, a farmer plowing, turning up the dirt in a potato field, sees a little hand and a little head just above the surface in the field, and they found her. Like I said,
her head was above and her hand was sticking out of the dirt.
Her head and her little hand was sticking out of the dirt like she was saying, hey, I'm over here, I'm over here.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God, Linda, what the hell? I don't know how you have the fortitude to deal with all of these atrocities, you know? I mean, it's just amazing to me. Once again, we're talking to Linda Crystal, forensic astrologer. Linda has a show on BTR every Wednesday night at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you guys check it out. Click follow, and she's also got a fantastic website with a lot of her work on it, and she also does readings for people, and that is www.lindacrystal.com. And we're going to take a short break, but if anyone has a question they want to ask Linda, this is not a reading show, so she will give no readings. However, if you have something you want to comment on, the number to call in is 818-369-0327. And like I said, we'll take a short 5-minute break and we'll be back. And I would like to ask about the Scott Peterson case, Linda, when we come back, if that's okay with you.
That's absolutely fine.
Okay, we'll be right back, you guys. Thank you.
And that was Stand Beyond, which translates to I Am Your Shadow by Lisa Gerrard. And it comes from the CD The Mirror Pool, which is absolutely beautiful and just one of my favorite recordings ever. So we are talking to Linda Crystal, and that's www.lindacrystal.com. Linda is a forensic astrologer and an amazing magician in every aspect on solving missing person cases and murder cases. Okay, so for those who don't know about the Scott Peterson and Lacey Peterson case, Linda, Scott murdered, we found out Scott murdered Lacey when she was pregnant with his child. Tell us what you did in that case.
Well, first of all, when she went missing and, you know, he came up with this hokey story that he didn't know anything, I really, really felt right away that something was wrong with what he was saying. I don't know if it was his flat affect that got me, the way he was saying it got me. I mean, he didn't seem emotional. He didn't seem upset. So, of course, I ran the charts. I wanted to see what was going on. And I knew right away that basically he gave her some kind of, the chart showed that he used some kind of a medicine, maybe put her to sleep or put her out, and then basically, you know, strangled her, took her to the bay, and dumped her in the bay. Well, I can tell you all that and know all that, but the thing is that when somebody goes missing, it becomes a national case. It's incredibly hard to get anybody to listen to you because so many people that are not real come out of the woodwork and hate to say this, but I mean, it turns into a circus media and nobody knows who to listen to. And that's including the police. Nobody knows who to listen to at that time. But what I did was I put all the information together that I knew and I put it in an email and I sent it to the Modesto police. And I said, look, I said, here's the scenario. And now I'm doing this. Now this is documented because I have this in hard copy. This is documented. I've had my website on the internet for years and years and years. But the email is a hard copy that was sent to Modesto. So I'm trying to show that I'm documenting everything, I'm saying everything, I'm proving everything before the cases come out. Because there's no way that one person could be, I mean, even if they did investigate me, there's no way that one person could be running around the country or the world doing all these cases by herself, trust me. So 2 weeks after this goes on, I send the email that I believe Scott did it, told him about the medicine, told him that she was in the bay, that some of what he was saying was the truth. He was mixing it in with fabrications, which they often do, and that, you know, sad to say that Lacey and the baby, were going to wash up on the beach in March or April, and sorry to say that that's the story, you know, that came down the pike. But I did that 2 weeks after Lacey went missing, and that's documented, that I said her and the baby would wash up on those rocks from the bay. Now, that is not a guess. That is logical deductions through these astrology charts. And I have done it over and 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 over. So it's not just a hit or a miss. It can be done.
Right, right. Yes, and you've proven that for sure. What are some, and I know there's some talk in chat about the Malaysian airline that went missing, which is a really good point. So what do you think about that, Linda?
Well, I did the chart of the day. Of course, it's a year ago now that it went missing, and I went right on my Facebook. It's documented on my Facebook that I said the plane was hijacked. Somebody went and fooled with all the electronic information in the plane, all of it. It's all screwed up. So they weren't going to get any good readings. It was hijacked, and the letters of the day were I and R. Now, I thought of Iran, but Jeff, the man who is the an analyst for CNN, has just come out with an ebook that he believes that Russia, that could be the other R. I say I and R, and that's documented on the Facebook. This was shortly after the Malaysia plane went missing. If you scroll down my Linda Crystal Facebook, you're going to see that I put that on there. And I came up with the letters I and R for the day, said it was hijacked. I also said it did not go south. It went north. So they're going to search forever in the south, but the plane seemed to go more north than they were than they are saying, and that's documented.
Wow! So, do you think the plane will ever be found?
This is a time of year. Okay, March is a time where the sun is in Pisces, and this is when it disappeared. When the sun was in Pisces, it's secreted. When I say secreted, it's hidden. It's not going to be easy to find. Someone secreted it away, all right? So if it was hijacked, it's almost like they knew where to go. They knew how to secret it. This was a big plan. They knew it. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's not something that just happened. It's not an accident.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah, that's certainly such a curious case, you know?
Well, for anybody that's listening, I just put out an ebook on Amelia Earhart. And Amelia Earhart, after a lot of digging and research that I did, was psychic.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So that ebook about Amelia's disappearance, another plane crash, is out there on Amazon.com and Kindle.
Wow, okay. And you guys can get that at lindacrystal.com, and she's got other books too, a bunch of other books actually, and also different options to get a reading of different sorts that she does too. So check out her site at lindacrystal.com. And so I'm wondering, Linda, if you have heard of that case. This happened last year where the girl was in the elevator at a hotel. She was acting strange. It's on film. And like a couple days after that, her body was found in the water tank of the hotel. But there's no way that she could have, no one knows how the body got into the water tank. It was locked. You needed a special key. Have you heard of that case?
Actually, no, I haven't. But
okay.
Forgive me, because I work on so many cases, but I'm always writing books. I'm working on 12 books right now for all the zodiac signs that's going to be out by October on Amazon.com. So between writing and I have other businesses as well, and right now this week was the week from hell because we've had ice dam backups, water damage, my computer got damaged. I mean, I've gone through a week of hell.
Oh, I bet. Jeez, it sounds that way.
But I have not heard about that particular case, no.
Okay, well, sometime we'll have to talk about that when you do know about it, because it's so strange. It's so strange.
Well, she's not going to throw...
You're right.
She's not going to throw herself in a water bin. I mean, there's no... We had a case up here where a girl went missing, and they found her in a garbage tote, nude, and then they said it was suicide. This is the coroner's office saying it's suicide. Hello, you don't kill yourself and throw yourself in a plastic tote and throw yourself in a garbage bin.
Right,
sorry.
Right.
It's a little impossible.
Right, so. Right. And there's a comment in the chat room about Casey Anthony. Now, what are your thoughts on that case?
I knew the direction and the location of the baby before anybody knew it. I knew she was southeast. I knew she was dead, and I knew she was near electric lines.
Do we know who did it?
Well, I always I have always felt, and I felt from the get-go, it was the mom, and I believe there was someone else involved. I don't believe it was just the mom. There's somebody else that was involved in this. I don't know the person's name, but I do believe there was another person involved.
Wow. Okay. And you say you're writing some books on, you know, on all the astrological signs.
Oh, yeah.
Are there certain points to someone's chart that might, you know, that always are in a chart of a murderer, for instance? I mean, can we look, you know, are there always certain points in a chart, someone's personal chart, and everyone has a different chart, but are there always some points in the chart that lend to the murderer, the person being a murderer?
Well, unfortunately, yes, because when you take a look at some of these serial killers, they're going to have usually a lot of retrogrades. They're going to have a lot of abuse in their background. They're going to have a lot of planets, especially if they're pedophiles. They're going to have a lot of planets in the sign of Leo or a fire sign, generally Leo. You're going to see a propensity of planets that are in bad situations, bad angles, planets retrograde, and yes, they're there. And I can tell you, if that person, I'm going to make this statement now because I have said this in the past. There are certain people that when they kill, you're not going to lock them up. You're not going to get the better of them. They're going to get the better of you. We're seeing one making history right now. This is a Jodi Arias case. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She is extremely manipulative. I did the chart. She's very capable of doing it again and again and again and again. This is, to me, a sociopathic personality that is a shell of a person. And she is the one that is a potential suicide in that prison.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the man that you're flashing, the serial killer that you're flashing, Ray Mack. He took so many children, and did this guy here, Ray Mack Edwards, took so many children's lives. His father was a cop. He had a good life. There shouldn't have been any reason why this guy did what he did other than he was a pedophile. Nobody was going to get to him. He wanted control. He hung himself in the jail.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Are there any other murderers that stand out that you've investigated? I know you've investigated plenty of them, but any other ones that were unusual or that maybe you didn't see right away being, you know, a guilty person?
No, because I don't really know them before they become famous. I know them after they become famous. Christopher Wilder is a good example. There's still a girl in Miami, Amy Billig, that I believe might have been one of his victims because she actually had the looks and the hair of Elizabeth Kenyon. A lot of the other girls had long, dark hair. And Amy Billig's father was an art dealer where Christopher Wilder actually purchased some art from her father. So there's actually some contacts there. The thing is that here's a serial killer that he hid his victims so well. See, nobody, you're not going to think that a victim is buried outside your backyard. You're not going to think that a victim is in the canal alongside of your house. It's just something that we think, oh, that's not going to happen. And these serial killers know how to get rid of the bodies, hide them, especially if they're going to do it over and over and over again. Deep water. I said that the little girl that was the woman that was missing in South Florida, excuse me, Lisa Hayden, was probably on the other side of life, and she was in a car. I mean, there's so many waterways in Florida. The natural reaction for me is that, you know, she's in water, she's underwater, she's deep. So that's where they found the car.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. Jeez. And what about this case in Aruba, Natalie Holloway?
Well, once again, you have Natalie Holloway was a Libra. just like Holly Bobo, just like Brittany Drexel. And I had said on my website that, which is kind of a strange coincidence, Natalie Holloway's Oriental sign is a white tiger, and the mascot for Aruba is the white tiger. So this is, yeah, it's kind of weird. But I had said on my website way back then that Natalie Holloway is a tiger, and she put up a horrendous fight. Horrendous fight. There had to have been a horrible, horrible battle that girl went through. And I did talk to the family, and I did believe that the government was corrupt, and I did believe the evidence was destroyed. They found a bloody mattress on the beach and said it was from a dog.
Oh, God.
In anybody's life that's listening anywhere in the world right now, would anybody have ever found a bloody mattress on the beach and said, oh, that's a dog's? And then it disappeared.
Right.
It disappeared. So there was a bloody mattress on the beach. So that disappeared. All the evidence disappeared. So I said there was corruption. And I said, you're looking at the right person. Continue. And there was other people involved as well that they're off on it too. But I said, guy's a killer. She put up a horrible fight, and here he went down to Chile and he killed another girl with a horrible beating, exactly what Natalie Holloway went through.
Right. I didn't realize that they had caught someone in conjunction with that.
Well, it was Uran Vandersloot, and what I say also is karma. Anybody who's in this metaphysical world, you know that karma, you send out bad, you're going to get bad back. And you're going to take a person's life. Well, don't think that your family is safe if you take a life. And I said it, and what happened was his father dropped dead.
Oh, my God. Wow. That is amazing. Once again, we're talking to Linda Crystal, and you can find her at lindacrystal.com and also on BTR here on Wednesday nights at 6:30 Eastern time. And if anyone wants or has a question for Linda tonight, please call in at 818-369-0327. So, and this is not a reading show, by the way, so don't call in for a reading. We're just, if you guys have a question about someone missing or some case that is perhaps public that Linda knows about, we'd love to take your call. Okay, so in terms of, like you said, there's always certain, you know, points to a person's chart, a psychopath, that show up in the chart. So, for instance, Linda, when you looked at my chart...
Why are you laughing so loudly? I didn't see all that laughter in the chart.
No, but I mean, the thing that kind of creeped me out a little bit was the death zone comment and then the danger zone. So tell me how you, like you said to me, my biggest danger in this lifetime is from a man at night. How did you determine that?
Okay, when you take a look, and I don't know how many people have actually seen an astrology chart. It's a wheel. And when you look at that wheel, it's got 12 sections. And those 12 sections are the 12 signs of the zodiac and the 12 houses of the zodiac. And there's a beginning and an end to that wheel. And one revolution around the wheel is 30 years. But when you look at that wheel, it's 1 second. It's 1 minute. It's 1 hour. It's 1 day. It's 1 month. It's 1 year. It's a whole lifetime. It's 30 years. It's 2.5 years. It's a very complicated wheel. It is not just a circle you're looking at. It's like reading music and studying a piece of music, and I'm in the concerto end of it at this point, because you've got to know astrology that well to take a look at that chart. And then there's angles, and then there's times, and then there's the birth chart. And when I take a look at what directions these planets were above you when you were born, that's what I'm looking at. It's a map. It's a map of the heavens. So if I see a certain planet in a certain area, I know that's a certain direction. And very often when I'm doing the show, I'll say, okay, go to the middle of your house and find the southeast corner of the house. Find your north, find your south. And very often I put the compass on the front of the banner that the people are watching, because a lot of people don't have a sense of direction. They have no idea what is north and what is south. But if I can tell you right now, like the majority of the planets are, they're hovering like in the north, in the northwest, in the southwest. We only have one planet in the northeast. Right now we have Mars that was in Pisces, and I said there's going to be floods and water damage, and the west got it. Washington got it. Northern California got it. And now Mars went into Aries. So you're going to see forest fires in the west. Fires are going to start happening in the west. I am telling you that this is so accurate. It is amazing. It's unbelievable accurate.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's,
I mean, how much
direction
is that? Right, okay. So, but how do you know? So you know it's from a man at night, for instance. But so, yeah, I know, Linda, it's like, it's just such magic to me that it's just so difficult for me to grasp it. You know what I mean?
All right, so when you first learn astrology, for the new people that are listening to learn astrology, you need to know the 12 signs of the zodiac, like the back of your hand, like they're your brother, your sister, your relative. You need to know them inside and out. You need to know what they look like, how they, what their platform is, what are they like, what do they don't like, what's good for their health. You need to know everything about that sign, absolutely, positively everything. Then every one of those 12 houses, you need to know what that house means. If you don't know what that house means and you don't know what the sign means, then you'll never get to predictive astrology, and that's the part that is so important of what I do. That's what I learned so well, so good, so often, practiced all the time to try to get everything so that I knew what I was talking about. That particular planet that sits in probably the west indicates the west. It indicates at night. It indicates a male. It indicates a, like someone would rip off your purse. You might get stuck in some water. Water might be a problem for you. Basically, when I look at a planet in a sign or a planet in a house, there is probably literally millions of predictions that those planets in that sign in that house mean. What I'm doing is I'm looking for particular predictions that are going to say, how does this person murder? All right, for example, the Yolanda Bindix case out of Jamestown, New York, okay? I know the woman's got damage to her throat. That was never brought out in public through the chart. Now, how could I know that? I'm not giving out random predictions. For me to tell somebody that they're living in the storm drains, to find out that he was living in the storm drains, I mean, that's pretty accurate. It's not, oh, maybe he's living in the storm drains. No, that's not what I said. I said he's living in the storm drains, and I was correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we're not taking a little shot in the dark here of coming up with a prediction. I'm honing in on exactly what a person would do to you. How would a person kill? Christopher Wilder, before any books came out, before any TV programs came out, I said, this guy is into electricity. He's into torture. He was exposed to pornography, which I believe is a very bad seed for children. He was exposed to all kinds of weird, strange stuff when he was a kid. And then I said, he's not even from here. He was actually from Australia. Well, eventually through the years, it took years for all this to come out. Yes, guess what he tried to do to someone? He would take the cords, cut the cords off of the plug, plug the cord in, and basically put them on the girl's genitals.
Oh, God.
Yeah, think about that. Next time somebody wants to pull you into a car, think about that. You better scream and fight for your life, because otherwise they're going to do some pretty nasty stuff to you. He put super glue in her eyes.
Jesus.
They're not nice people, and they don't want you to know what they did to their victims, so they hide them. They hide them, and they hide them very well.
Yeah, geez. My God. So, you know, are there any other cases that come to mind that you want to comment on? I'm trying to think of, you know, the current ones going on right now. Is there something happening right now that we're, I mean, I'm sure there's tons of them, Linda, but is there one case that you're working on right now that you would like to talk about?
Well, there's actually several, but I'm going to talk about Brittany Drexel, and I'll tell you why. This is a kid that I know that the surface is that the mother told her she shouldn't go down to Myrtle Beach for spring break. Okay, all teenagers go through different stuff, all right? But this particular kid, and I said this before, they need to go back to her contacts and take a look at who was grooming this kid. This was planned. It was planned to get her down there. She didn't go down there by herself. She didn't have any money. Somebody told her that they were going to pay her way. Somebody groomed her. And when she asked permission to go down there and the mother said no, okay, somebody turned her against her mother and said, don't listen to what your mother said. Come down anyway. This was a plan. They drove this girl over state lines. I don't get it. This is kidnapping. They drove this girl over state lines. She didn't have any money. They took her into places where they got her in underage drinking alcohol, and she was reporting to other people that there was drugs. And I don't know for a fact whether she was doing drugs, but it was reported that there was drugs around her. But basically, those kids all know what happened to that girl, and somebody drove her over state lines, the mother did not give anybody permission to take that child over state lines. And now it's coming on 6 years in April that she is still missing in South Carolina.
And what do you think happened, Linda?
Well, I know that it's very hard for a family to let go of a kid and say that something's happened to the child. I know that. From working on all these cases, and I'm very heartfelt about children, or I wouldn't be working on these cases. So I know that it's hard to think that something horrible has happened to your child. But what I'm saying is you have to put that possibility there so that you can gain evidence. And I don't believe she's with us. I believe she's on the other side. I know that Dawn Drexel, her mom, believes that she's been human trafficked. I'm not seeing any scenario that shows me she's been human trafficked. I'm not seeing that in the chart of the day. I'm not seeing that in the girl's chart either. This is one of those cases where I do believe she's on the other side. I know it's hard for the family to, you know, get a grip with that or admit that. But in the meantime, these kids never helped that took Brittany Drexel over state lines down to South Carolina without her mother's permission. They had no permission. The mother didn't know about it. Somebody should be held accountable for taking that kid over state lines. Whoever was driving that car, I believe that something should be done to those kids. They beat feet. They never helped in the search and never wanted to talk to Dawn about the disappearance of Brittany. And it's going on 6 years.
Wow. Yeah. I know. And you can only do so much. I mean, like you said, you do work with the authorities at times. But, you know, if no one's going to listen to you, if the parents aren't going to listen, and they, like you said, a lot of times you know that the girl missing or the boy missing is dead, and the parents don't want to admit that, you know, they don't want to think that the child is dead, you know?
Well, I understand it's really not the parents sometimes, because what happens is the police are telling the parents not to listen to people like me, not to listen to psychics. And then the other thing is that so many so-called psychics come out of the woodwork. Nobody knows who to listen to. And instead of listening to people that have this is why I'm doing my show. This is why I've been doing profiles. This is why I'm putting it on the website, to document that this can be done. And I have been doing this documenting now, strong documenting, for at least 20 years. So I have documents that prove that I have said these things before. I'll give you another example. Josh Powell, Susan Powell disappearance. I said, when Susan Powell disappeared, take the kids away from Josh. Don't let him have the kids. The guy's explosive. He's the one that killed her. She's gone. She's on the other side. And get the kids away from him. He is explosive. He is suicidal. He will hurt himself and he will hurt the kids. And that's exactly what happened.
Wow. Wow. So did they, but did they didn't get the Josh away from the kids in time?
No, they didn't. Unfortunately, you know, the Cox family now has changed some of the laws in Utah that when a parent goes missing, the other parent doesn't get the custody of the child or the children until the other parent that's missing is found because of this particular case. Now, I said he was explosive. I said he was the one that did it. Okay, but you have to prove this in a court of law. You can't just listen and say, okay, well, he did it, because he's not guilty until proven guilty in a court of law. Except that when I see this kind of stuff in the chart and I do print it, it can't go anywhere because of all the laws that are currently in place to do anything. The father has custody rights. The father has visitation rights. So you have to fight through the archaic system of whatever state you're in at the time to fight with child protection to get the kids out of the custody.
Mm-hmm. Right. And like you said, you yourself have, you know, tried to help a girl that was in a bad situation in a bad household, and it took you 12 years to get her out of the household.
Right.
I think you
Absolutely.
Said 12 years. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's terrible. So you are such an excellent advocate for children.
And I'm telling child protection that I saw the black eye, that I know of the beatings, that I know that she's pulling the hair out of the child, that I know she's making this poor child who is 6 or 7 years old clean this entire massive house and be her slave. I know this. I'm seeing this. I'm telling you this. I am an adult, and I'm a mandated reporter, and I'm telling you this. And this woman was capable of bribing these workers, giving them lunch, soft soaping them, making these people believe that she was a cop once, that she was a foster parent. No documentation to back any of this stuff up that she said, but she had these people believing this.
Right.
And basically,
yeah,
she took a child that she was babysitting for. She took the child she was babysitting and said that the mother never came home and filed for custody. That's how she ended up with the child. This, to me, was a human trafficker. She's long gone now. She's dead. The woman is dead. But I'm sure that this child is not the only child that suffered at her hands.
No, no. And, I mean, look at, you know, you think, Linda, with a case like that, you think, how could this happen? How is this possible? And yet it does. And, you know, and that's part of their charm, the people taking advantage, is that no one would believe that this was happening. No one would believe someone so evil would do that. You know what I mean?
No, she actually hid behind the guise of being a devout Christian and going to church. And, you know, she was holier than thou, and she would never. And she actually had signs on her door that said, no alcohol and drugs allowed in this house, when she was actually the drug dealer.
Wow. Jeez. Oh, my God. That must have burned you up, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I hung in there for the kid. I worked with the authorities. I worked with the school. The school couldn't believe it. We did everything under the sun to try to get this child removed. And with the laws that are in place, and this woman didn't even have a birth certificate for this child. She never had a birth certificate for this child. Now, I saw the child from when she was a baby. and I saw what this woman did to this child. And you think that anybody would take my testimony? They never looked at my pictures. They never took my testimony. They never came and visited me.
That's terrible.
It is terrible.
Well, I'm glad that why, you hung in there and got her free, you know?
This is why we have two male boys dead in the Buffalo area, child protection. And they just, I want to say the commissioner, who was the commissioner, she went on there and testified, and I said, she's actually, she's not part of the problem. She is the problem.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, some people do listen to you. I mean, you've had triumphs, you know.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely over the years. Amazing, amazing results. But, you know, what I'm saying is it's very frustrating when you know that somebody's missing and you know that somebody did it, and there's no way to prove it because you don't have the DNA, you don't have the fingerprints, but it's all right there in the chart. It's all sitting there in the chart for anybody to look at that can understand it, but there's nothing mm-hmm. you can do about it.
Right, right, unfortunately. Once again, we are talking to Linda Crystal, and you can find Linda at lindacrystal.com. And she's got her own BTR show every Wednesday night at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. Very interesting show, as you can tell. The woman is just brilliant with what she does. We're going to have to end the show a little bit early today because I had a problem with Skype, and I'm actually on another person's Skype line that has a show coming on. So we're going to have to end it a little bit early. But is there anything else, Linda, that you wanted to address, like with any recent cases or anything else?
I just want to say to anybody out there that has a missing child or a missing person in their family, you have to use every tool, every resource that you possibly can to locate your person, your loved one. Because when people go missing, nobody knows anything. I can at least give you a couple of directions. I can give you some ideas. I can tell you, look here, look there. It's better to have some kind of an idea. And it's never been proven in a court of law, but I can tell you that I have helped on so many cases. And the faster you find your loved one, the faster you're going to have some justice for them.
Yes, and we so much appreciate all the work you do, Linda. And God bless you, because it's not easy. I realize that, you know. So thank you for
thank
everything you.
You
do to help others.
Thank you.
And I hope one day we can have you back on the show. That would be fantastic. And until then, you guys, thanks everyone for joining us. And you guys have a great night. Curious Times on at 10 o'clock p.m. tonight. And who is tonight? I forgot. I think, I can't remember. Anyways, okay, so we will see you all soon. And once again, thanks to Linda, lindacrystal.com, and check her out. And we will talk to you guys soon. Thank you.
Living hell of another world.
Step out of the world you see.
You do not respond.
The Supernatural Radio Show. Open up your mind.
We programmed your brain.
The Supernatural Radio Show.
You must learn to obey.
Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. The Supernatural Radio Show.
That was interesting.